I want to read something to you in the book of Matthew. Yeah, that's good. That'll work. Matthew, in Matthew chapter number 8, I've got a date with chapter 8. I want you to look at something there. I'm hung up, and when I get hung up, I just well stay with it till I unhang. I mean, last night, the touch, he touched me. Tonight, oh, to be his hand reaching out to let him, to let me touch. I mean, it's on me. So let me read you two verses in Matthew chapter number 8. Verse number 14 starts like this. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Lord, tonight, I thank you for your truth. And I know what's in my heart, and I know what I felt like you dealt with me about. Help me to convey it, Lord, that somebody in this house tonight could be healed of a fever. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, as grand as life is, and I like it, as much fun as we have in life, and I enjoy it, and as many good times as I've had in the house of God, there's still things that you're going to have to face. They're called hardships, and they're called trials, and they're called, you can put any number of things on the top of that thing. And so there's just going to be times that even being a child of God isn't going to alleviate you of having to go through something. It's going to be times that being a child of God isn't going to get you out of a valley. Sometimes, according to David, he'll restore your soul in the valley. So we're not always going to be in revival mode. We're not always going to be on a mountaintop. We're not always going to be running down the aisles or shouting around the altars. There's going to be times that just because we're human, we're going to have to deal with the fevers of life. And they're out there. I mean, there's fevers out there. Life can be friendly and we can have such a good time, or it can be feverishly cruel. I mean, life can be glad, and we can laugh and just have the best time of fellowship that you could possibly want, or sometimes life can be feverishly sad. Some of the things that I've come up on, working with the PD, with the fire department, some of the wrecks, some of the children having to go door to door one night, knocking on three separate doors, telling three separate dads that their babies were killed in an automobile accident. Same mama, three different children, three different dads. I had to go tell every one of them about the tragedy. I'm telling you, the fever of life can get raging until it absolutely overpowers you. And almost sometimes, and I've watched it do it, did just take control of a body, just like it did Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick. She was sick of a fever. In fact, she was so sick of a fever that it got her down. That's the condition that Jesus found her in. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I work a lot better in revival with people that I find that are down needing to get up than I do the ones that are up needing to get even higher. I tell you, I just enjoy the fact that you can come into the house, bring Jesus with you, and there ain't a contagion in the room that he can't touch and make you feel better before the service is over. And I'm not just talking about the headache, and I'm not talking about the backache. I'm talking about the heartache. I'm talking about all of the feverish things in life that paints a bleak picture that gets on every one of us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The reason that we've been put on planet Earth is to direct our praise and our worship to God. That's what we're down here for. I wasn't put down here to make a fashion statement. I wasn't put down here to be the best looking guy in the world. Brother Johnson was. I wasn't put down here to be the best sounding saxophone player in the world. Jimmy John Milliken is. I'm telling you, we wasn't set down here in this world just to simply exist. We were put here to praise and give him glory. But a fever started raging. It started in the Garden of Eden. That fever so overpowered a lady that it spread to her companion, And the next thing you know, what we were created to do and created to be was made void by the fever. The fever got so bad that God said, I'm afraid you're going to contaminate the rest of the garden. And he took man and woman, set them outside of the garden, and I'm going to just be honest with you. We've been sitting outside ever since because of that fever. But I've got some of the best news that you're going to hear all day long, and that is this. That fever that separated our parents in the very first family, that fever that was a contagion that jumped all the way through Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll find it in Joshua, you'll find it in Judges. That fever finally come in contact with the balm of Gilead. It finally came in contact with a great physician. That fever one day come in contact with a doctor that at 12 years old was telling the doctors how to perform. I'm telling you, because we have come in contact with Jesus, although we have been alienated from God, it doesn't mean that we have to die in our sins, lose the victory, lose the glory, lose the shout. I'm telling you, we have a fever reliever. And because we do, a brother, sister, in this service tonight, you can regain the glory. You can regain your glow. You can regain your dance. You can regain your shout. We don't have to allow the fever to subdue us. The truth is, all these three girls on the front, this second row needs tonight, all they need is one touch. That's all they need. At 12 years old, the Lord dealt with my sweetheart. She got saved. She's been saved ever since. She doesn't have a great testimony of in this hell hole and that hell hole, in that night spot and that night spot. She doesn't have a great testimony that the world thinks you've got to have in order to be popular on some television kind of religion. Nope. She got a hold of the physician. He touched the fever when she was 12. And brother, sister, she's been doing good ever since. I'm just trying to tell you, I can prevent a lot of heartache, and I can prevent a lot of sadness, and I can prevent a lot of trouble if you'll just let him touch the fever tonight. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Really, we don't need another. Oh, glory. We really don't need another evangelist. We really don't need another pastor. We don't need another visitation of Neosho or Export. We really don't have to have that. We really don't need somebody to get up here and tell us that we need to vote out the goat. We don't need to change the leadership. We don't need. I'm telling you, that's how people respond to the fever. They think they can change it with a song. They think they can change it with a vote. They think they can change it with a ballot. They think they can change it by changing churches. Some people change churches like some people change their socks. You know? And both of them stink. Listen, I'm telling you something. We're not going to take care of this fever by looking for somebody's shoulder to cry on or looking for somebody that has the same fever and therefore we have sympathy. The only way the church is going to have that good old-fashioned 1 o'clock kind of revival where folks are shouting in the aisle and praying through in the house is to realize that there's one fella in this world that can take care of what we got, and that is Jesus, the same man that saw Peter's mother sick with this fever. Did you know that you can go to hell with a good personality? You can go to hell with a long sleeve shirt. You can go to hell sitting by a holiness mama, having a holiness daddy, or being the daughter of a holiness preacher. You can go to hell sitting on a drum, playing a saxophone, or trying to breathe life back into a sick organ. I'm telling you, you can die lost, you can go to hell. You can go to hell being a song leader. You can go to hell being a Sunday school teacher. But you can't go to hell once the physician has reached down and touched you and healed you of the fever and told you that you can have life and have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, he's a fever reliever. Listen, listen. I have to deal with him. I know you deal with him. When Jesus came into the house, the first thing that he did was he saw Peter's mother, sick of a fever. And I don't mean this to be spooky, careless, or carnal, but there ain't nothing going on in this house right now that he's not 100% aware of. Not 100%. I don't know you. I don't know if you voted Democrat or Republican. I don't know. I don't know if you was for NAFTA or even knows what it is. I don't know if you were glad they got Sodom or wished you could have. I don't know. I don't know if you were privileged tonight to drive a General Motors product or if you pulled up out there in a Ford. I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea. I don't know if you like red. I don't know if you like, I don't know what your favorite color is. I don't know what your favorite pie is. I don't know any of those things. But I know this one thing right now. There's not a corner of your life that's hid to him. There's not one corner of your existence that's hid to him. He knows your conversation that you had before you came to church. He knows what your heart is communing right now. He knows what you're going to say on the way home from church tonight. He knows what you thought yesterday. He knows what you thought when you was gassing up your vehicle. He knows what you thought when you picked up that illicit book. He knows what you thought. There ain't nothing hid from him. If you're going to have revival, write it down that Hite said so. You're going to have revival because somebody is in this house that knows the way you think and what you do and where your heart is. He knows everything about you. He knows about you. I didn't know about everybody in the congregation the night that I was preaching at Fairland to that huge camp meeting crowd. I had no idea. But there was a boy that looked like he had no joy sitting back there two or three pews from the front. And the longer I looked at him, the more I was aware of the fact while I was preaching that he is either running from something, hiding from something, regardless of what it was. He had a fever that was out of control and he needed a visit to an emergency room, and I figured Fairland Tabernacle was as good as you could find on that camp meeting night. I kept pressing the point. I kept pressing it. And I kept bugging out my eyes and spitting across the top of the microphone, and I kept moving down the aisle closer and closer until I got down to the end and the killer cure diagnosis and said, is there anybody in this house that'd like to get up out of that seat, come up here in this altar, and be touched like you've never been touched before? That boy jumped up in my presence, stepped out into the aisle, turned, and headed for the doors. He went out the door. He went out into the vestibule. He went out into the hallway. I stopped right what I was doing, and I said, hold it, stop, everybody, hold. I mean, place full. I said, hold it, stop. That boy, he just walked out of this building, cannot afford to walk out of this building tonight. I said, throw your hands in the air and ask God to chase him to the parking lot. Well, if Paul Harvey was here, he'd tell you the rest of the story. The boy went to the parking lot. He got inside of his car. He started it up, turned the radio on loud, probably to country music. Some bar room, tin can that's running around with somebody else's man, and he reached over and picked up a pack of Marlboros and stuck it in his trembling hand and stuck it in his trembling lips and got under such conviction that he piled out of that car. When we saw him, he was running back into the church. He ran down to the aisle, threw himself in the altar, his cigarettes and the lighter. Threw it all right there on the altar. And everybody in the church watched the great physician do what he does best. I'm just trying to tell you something. You don't have to leave with the fever. You don't have to leave with it. You don't have to. My old stories are just that. Old stories. But I'm telling you, from a life that almost went in the wrong direction with a saxophone, I got my fever cured one night at a camp meeting in southern Illinois. On the way home down that old little blacktop road in my 72 Malibu 350. As I'm going down that road, just to getting it. Subconsciously, I reached over and stuck one of them tapes in the old tape player. And if I tell you some of the names of these singers, it's going to let you know that I'm not in my 20s anymore. And I stuck some of them old singers in there, and Conway Twitty was growling about swimming across the river to see some kind of Louisiana woman or something. And I said, I shouldn't have none of that kind of stuff. I just got my fever reduced. I don't need something else to spread it worse. And so I took him out. I know that he's a good fella, I reckon. But I slapped old Charlie Pride in there, and he went to singing about kissing an angel a good morning. And I'd just been in church seeing heaven, so I didn't want to degrade myself down that far. So I pulled him out. Don't everybody sit there and look at me like a junkyard dog. I'm telling you, I tried everything I had in the seat, and nothing in there fed or made my soul feel good. It almost felt like I was touching something I ought to wash my hands over again. So I stopped my car in the middle of the road. I got out. I aimed for a pond, and I baptized every one of them country western singers in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, frogs, snakes, goats, and turtles. Are you listening to me? And that night, I not only got rid of the fever, I got rid of everything that could spread it. Woo! Would it be something tonight if somebody got so a hold of God that it not only changed your life, it changed your car. It changed your house. It changed your bedroom. It changed your library. Woo! Hallelujah. Pray, honey. I'm starting to feel half anointed and half dangerous on the same platform. Hey, I'm just telling you something. I'll never have a degree in law. I'll never have a degree in medicine. At the rate I'm going, I'll never have a degree in theology. But by the grace of God, I'll never have a degree of sin either. I have done found somebody that can take care of the fever. And listen, it's not any black mark against you that you have it or that it's got a hold on you. That's what the devil's here for, is to try to pollute you and the church. But Jesus came, saw her, and took care of it. And he's in this room tonight. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know where everybody is tonight that was here last night. But I'm taking 27 people that ought to hear this message. Well, maybe they'll visit Calvary sometime and I'll take another hitch at it. But it could be that somebody in here tonight needs to hear this message. Listen to me. According to this Bible, she had two problems. Problem number one, she's laying down. Problem number two, she had a fever. Now, I've seen people that I knew were spiritually sick. They kept right on coming. They kept right on singing. Some of them were my buddies who kept right on preaching. Had a fever, and you can never tell it. But someplace along the line, it's going to get you down. Someplace along the line, you're going to find yourself making headlines of the holiness movement. Someplace along the line, someplace, you're going to find yourself losing your position as pastor and God turn it over to somebody else because the fever kept raging until it got you down. I know for a fact that this lady didn't feel good. I don't care how many folks visit me when I got a fever. And I'm laying down. You cannot cheer me up. There's just something about a fever. Just puts me in a bad mood. I just can't hardly help it. I wished it wasn't that way. Fever and no coffee. First thing of the morning puts me in a bad mood. And I really need to get the victory over the fever. Listen, I'm telling you something. This lady was sick of a fever laying down. Even though she's in a crowd, she was lonely. Even though she could have had peace in that house, I guarantee it, she was restless. And even though she was a good cook and could work around the table, right now she felt worthless. I hope there ain't nobody in here like that. But if you are, I've come to tell you, if you're feeling kind of lonely in the middle of shouting people, and you're feeling kind of worthless in the middle of a good revival, there's somebody in here tonight that can get you up. You don't have to lay there. You don't have to live there. You don't have to die there. Hey, not everybody gets emotional like me. Everybody don't shout and run the aisle. Everybody don't dance and blow a saxophone. You don't have to act like me. But glory be to God, someplace in your life, you ought to feel like acting like worship and acting like Him. And when He takes care of the fever, He allows you to be yourself. Hey, listen. She had a fever, but she wasn't the only one, because there is raging fevers that we're dealing with 24 hours a day. Now, I'm going to make a word play here. I mean, I think it is. The Bible said she lay the sick of a fever. I'm going to tell you something without any reservation. When some of the fevers of this world get a hold of you, their end result is to make you feel worse, not make you feel better. Oh God, help me now just a minute, Lord. You know, as if laying down ain't bad enough. As if not feeling like coming to church ain't bad enough. As if staying at home letting the wife drag the kids to Sunday school, as if that ain't bad enough. As if not caring about revival or supporting the pastor or paying your tithes or helping with the blacktop, as if that ain't bad enough. You had a fever on top of that, and you're fixing to bury somebody shortly. And brother, sister, I don't mean this to be crude, or I don't mean this to be rude, but if we don't get a hold of the sports fever that grabbed a hold of our nation, our little children know more about baseball scores and baseball cards than they do Noah and the Ark. They know more about who hit the home run than they do about Moses and the burning bush. Our children know more about being cheerleaders and basketball players and Michael Jordan and Nike tennis shoes than they do the moving power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we need to get rid of that fever. I tell you, now Brother Hyde, I know it. I'll do better tomorrow night. But I'm having so much fun right now. Don't wake me if I'm dreaming. We've got a sports fever that's got a hold of individuals. You hear me? My nephews were raised with a basketball in their hand. They could tell me every ball player from here to... I was going to make a team. Right now, I can't think of one of them. I really can't. I can think of deer rifles, but I can't think of ball teams. But they know everything about every kind of ball team and every kind of ball glove and every kind of ball that you can possibly think about. You hear me? Oh, but then I got a few little rugrats at Calvary that really don't know nothing about a home run. They don't even know nothing hardly about a skateboard. But they know something about Sunday school and children's church and Brother Ricky and Sister Kelly and Brother Brian every Sunday morning. And they know something the other night about the moving of the Spirit of God, because sometimes it's my little ones that are running while moms and dads are sitting there wondering why they're wasting all their energy on something besides athletics. I'm just going to tell you something. There's a man, you got quiet. God, where's that poem at? Kind of quiet on hot tonight, but here he is. Listen, I'm telling you something. If we can just combat that fever, get that thing taken care of, that fever runs close with the lustful fever that's got a hold of this world. You can't just have a football team. You got to have a bunch of naked cheerleaders out there on the sideline.
Here, honey.
Listen, you can't hardly have any kind of pure athletics without somebody wanting to bring in a dance team or a dance troupe and polluting it. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. and that means more than hitting the ball and making 2 points. It means saving your children, rescuing your family, and praying the prayer of faith. Hey, so we've got that sports fever, and we've got that lustful fever until you can't hardly go in a used bookstore anymore and ask for the religious section and get there without defiling the flesh. I've never seen so much garbage. You can't hardly even go to the supermarket and buy a can of grapefruit juice without a magazine right here saying aliens have landed on planet Earth and they love Hillary. I'm telling you, you can't hardly. Is anybody listening to me? I'm telling you, they bombard us with it. You drive down the interstate, what are they telling you? They're telling you that you can be long brown-headed. You can be very beautiful. You can be very, very immodest as long as you got a can of beer in your hand. I'm telling you, what are they telling us? They're telling us that the more illicit and the more lewd you look, the better you'll be. He said the difference. He said the opposite. He said be moral and be modest, and I'll get you up and I'll heal you, and you can live forever. Fevers, we get them. Yes, we do. And I want to tell you something about some of those fevers. They take a normal young lady and turn her into an abortionist. Them fevers do. Those fevers have taken back home a young man who used to pray in our altars during revivals. And now then, he breaks His Holiness Mother and Daddy's heart with alcohol and drink because he's got the fever. Oh, I need to bring this down. I can tell you've either had a hard day or you're having a hard night. But the truth is, these fevers that get a hold of us, it takes a normal male, turns him into a drunken sot who will abuse his wife, push and slap his children around, absolutely contrary to the natures of God. That fever will get hold of ministers until they think with a good haircut and a good long sleeve and a hard, tight message on holiness that they can get by, only to find out down the road ahead just a few days that their heart was impure and an affair was breeding within their very breast, and they brought a black mark against the very house of God. I'm telling you what that fever will do. Are you listening? That fever will get in your children, make them look at you at 6 years old and tell you, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. That fever will get on them at 12 and at 16. And when you try to tell that little girl, you're not gonna go out of this house dressed like a streetwalker, they'll show you. It's that fever that gets a hold of us. And I'm not telling you that another loudmouth preacher from Missouri is the answer. I'm telling you that the great physician that can walk into this service right now and touch any thing in the house, He's the answer. He's the answer. Yeah. I haven't made great inroad strides at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. We haven't doubled or tripled our crowd in the last 12 years that we've been there. But I've married some of my children that grew up to be teenagers who are holding their homes together tonight and teaching their children how to behave and how to act and how to look and how to walk and how to talk. Someplace along the line, you're going to have to stop the fever. Someplace along the line. I'm telling you, at 12 years old, when the Lord grabbed a hold of my sweetheart, wasn't you 12? Or was that when you got the Holy Ghost? Do you remember? Was you younger when you got saved? Was it 8? Don't even remember how old she was when she got saved. Wow! And I married her. Man, what a choice. But I'm telling you something. She'd tell you tonight, she wish she'd have started even earlier. And I can spare a lot of young ladies a lot of scars and I can spare a lot of young men a lot of feelings. I can keep you from having a guilty conscience, worrying all night and afraid that you're going to meet somebody on the street along with your wife that you wish you could forget. I'm going to tell you, I can take care of that tonight by introducing you somebody that will take your fever, cast it away, cover it under the blood, and never bring it up again. The fever. He takes care of them. He takes care of them. Listen, you done? Nope. But the CDs only have 80 minutes, so I don't want to run out. I don't want to run out. I don't want you to run out either. I want to run out. So I'm going to give you a wordplay here. I told you that it was. The Bible said she was laying sick of a fever. What if the Bible meant she was laying sick of a fever? Hello, come back in again. What if the Bible was saying she was down and she was sick of being down? What if the Bible said she was laying low, but she was sick of laying low? What if the Bible said when Jesus came in and saw this lady sick of a fever, she wasn't just laying there with a cold rag on her head. She was laying there saying, I'm tired of laying here like this. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of feeling like this. Because according to the Bible, when Jesus came into the room, what did he touch? I read it to you. When he came into the room, did he walk up beside the bed, spit in her eye? Did he walk up to the bed and stick his finger in her ear? And what'd he do? What'd he do? Did he touch her tongue? What'd he do? He walked up to the bed, the Bible said, and he touched her hand. What? I don't get it. I mean, what about it? I'm just doing a wordplay here. What if Jesus walked in the room, saw this woman laying here sick, and she reached out in his direction and said, I'm sick of this fever. And Jesus reached over and took her by the hand and took care of it. What if the only thing you need to do tonight to get out of what you're in is reach out and touch the Lord? What if the only thing you need to do to get deliverance over tobacco is reach in his direction? What if all you need to do is reach where he's at? What if that's all you have to do? Are you telling me that I don't have to come to the altar and go through 20,000 things to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I can come to the altar, reach in his direction, he'll reach in mine, and I can get the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we make our revivals too tough. We make them too tough. We make getting the Holy Ghost too hard. We make serving and living holy, we make it too hard. Hey, if it's hard to be happy, then I'm thrilled to be hard. If it's hard to have a lifestyle where you can have a clear conscience, then I'm happy to be this way. We make it too hard. We see all we have to give up and what we can't do. But what you don't understand is you don't have to really give it and do it. When he touches you, you don't want to do it no more. When he gets a hold of you, it's not what you have to give up. It is absolutely that he changes your very likes, your very dislikes, your very nature. You hear me? Now listen. Pick up my glasses before I step on. Listen. I'm telling you this. Honey, come play something about getting rid of fevers. I'm telling you something. In this little room right now, if you're addicted to anything that's tearing up your home, your heart, and your family, you can get rid of it tonight. You come to the house of God, as long as the pastor preaches on prayer, tithing, and worship, you don't have any problem with that. But when he preaches on honesty, and purity, and sacrifice, you can't even buy gasoline without your eyes wandering that some piece of flesh walking down the street. If you're battling that anywhere in this house tonight, there's a fever reliever here. If some of you young ladies open the magazines and see them half-clad ladies that have already sold their entire selves to the forms and the fashion fevers of this world, and you think you will have arrived if you can look like that, I'm going to tell you, most of the ladies in the mall look like that. Most of the ladies on the sidewalk look like that. They haven't arrived. They're just blending in. They're just blending in with sin. Let me tell you, the ones that have arrived is the ones that you can pick out and say, look at that. She must have had the fashion fever healed because she's starting to look like a Christian. Look at that boy. He doesn't have more rings than a hog in his nose. He ain't even got on a black trench coat and boots with 27-inch heels. He's walking around like somebody that knows what glory, hallelujah, really means. Now, Brother Hyde, I could think of 27 churches in this area that you really should have preached this to. Okay? You call them. I'll figure out how to work them in the schedule one of these days. But until then, in this room, I can't get away from that feeling all day yesterday and all day today that somebody still needs a touch. I may not preach on the touch tomorrow night. You pray much, I may not preach on the touch. But I'm preaching on it right now. And if you've got a hidden habit and your wife doesn't even know anything about it, God does. He'll meet you at judgment unless you let him heal you. If your mom and dad don't even know what you've been involved in, what you've done, what you've said, what you've looked at, God does. And he'll heal the fever tonight. I don't care what you've done. You don't have to write a postscript to your marriage and head for the divorce court. God's a healer. I don't care what you've done. You don't have to throw a mad fit and leave the house at 15 and move in with a bunch of people that's in the same shape of rebellion you're in. God can heal that fever. And really changing churches and going worldly, that's not going to help you. Changing the scenery ain't going to help you if you've got the fever. Because a fever is a fever in Hawaii or in Florida or right here in Kansas. The only way to get rid of the fever is be touched. So she reached her hand. He touched her. And the very next thing that happened in the story, she jumped up and got back to work for God. Well, I'm going to have to admit something to you, Brother Hyde. I used to sing in this church house, but I haven't felt like getting up singing. After the fever was gone, she got up and went back to work. Well, I used to be a Sunday school teacher, but I let things get in my heart. After she got touched to the fever, she got up and got back to work. Father, all across this service and all across this church house tonight, I would have really liked to have pegged the needle and preached until the angels dropped down in the service, sat down on the pews and started yelling amen. But I was dealing with something that even hell rejects, and that is the fact that men and women and boys and girls, they don't have to be bound, they don't have to be sick, they don't have to be entangled, they don't have to be ensnared, they don't have to be a slave to lust, they don't have to be a slave to fashions, they don't have to be a slave to sports, they don't have to be popular to survive, they don't have to be the apple of the world's eye. All they've got to do is from a laying down position with a fever, reach their hand towards you, and you'll reach your hand towards them, and the revival is on. So your heads are bowed and nobody's looking around. What are you going to do now, Brother Hyde, about that altar call? Oh, I'm going to make one like I do. Like I do when I'm at home, or like I do anywhere. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you feel guilty. If you feel something, I'm not going to ask you. My eyes are shut. I'm not even looking. That's all I'm going to say. You're sitting in this service right now. You're in the emergency room. You need help immediately. You're next on the list. All you got to do is climb out of that pew. Bring yourself with an outstretched hand in the direction of this altar. Throw yourselves on the mercies of God, and somebody can get delivered of a terrible habit tonight in this house. Some man can get delivered of a terrible heartache or a terrible burning, searing conscience tonight. Some lady can get delivered of an attitude and a spirit that's causing rebellion and disgust and discord in her very marriage. Some teenager can get delivered of something that's fixing to ruin their modesty, tear up their integrity, rob them of their virtue, and make them a laughing stock. Somebody in this house, while the piano is playing and the preachers are talking and his eyes are shut, somebody in this house can reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Somebody you can find on this Tuesday night is not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Is there a husband that can tell he's passing by this moment? All your needs to supply. Is there a wife in this room? Is there a grandma and a grandpa that's been straying away from holiness and allowing things in the grandkids that you would have never allowed in your children? Is there anybody in this room that would step out and say, the emergency room is where I need to be right now, and the great physician is there to help me with whatever fever? I'm not trying to figure out which fever it is. I'm not trying to dissect that. I'm not asking for God to give me the spirit of discernment. I'm just asking God to give Brother Dave and Sister Anna Johnston. I'm just trying to ask God to give that wonderful pastor and his wife a revival. A few nights in this church services, that when this revival ends, he has a few more people that can pray the prayer of faith and feel the victory and sing the songs of Zion. He has a few more young folks that he doesn't have to worry near so much about. He has another mom and dad that he doesn't have to spend hours wondering about them. That they've prayed and they sought God and they got a hold of the victory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm assuming by listening that we've got some folks that's moved toward the altar. It may have been everybody. I don't know. That may have been the signal for everybody in the church to move. But I'm telling you, there's a few families, few faces, few hearts, few lives in this altar that they shouldn't just be there trying to blend in with everybody else. They're there because they genuinely feel conviction because of a fever that they need to be delivered of. Oh, yeah. Sing whatever you felt like singing, honey. Whatever your other song was, if you want to hear it. God is coordinating.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Oh, hallelujah. If some of you mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas want to gather around with somebody, if some of you men would like to gather around with some of these boys here, if some of you fellas would like to gather around, if some of you dear sisters would like to come up here and get right down in here with some of these teenagers, my God of heaven, oh yeah, can we feel like we felt tomorrow night when last night when church was out? Yep, we feel that way tonight and the rest of this revival. You can feel that in every service. When you allow the master to drop down into a room, find the problem that's in our hearts and in our lives, and get it out before it's too late. Get it out before you quit teaching. Get it out before you quit your marriage. Get it out before you lose your integrity in your church. Get it out before you quit the choir. Get it out. Get it out before you quit reading your Bible. Let the master get rid of that fever. Get it out before you quit going to revival. Before you don't care anything about the... Oh, God.
it really Hallelujah. Matters.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In your life, we'll never be the same.
Oh, listen.
There is only one way to touch Him.
She doesn't want to go. Things she got tied up with. She doesn't want to stay tied up with it. Hallelujah. There is only one way to touch Him.
Mamas and daddies, pray where you're seated. Pray in the pews. Pray in the aisle. Pray in the floor. Pray in the altar. Whatever you do, recognize the need. Recognize the need. That there's an enemy out there. He doesn't really
matter. Jesus breaks every.
He doesn't care how many times we go to the house of God.
And he'll say,
or if you wear a white long sleeve shirt. As long as there's something harboring in our heart that keeps
Jesus
us from feeling the fullness of God. Oh, God.
Better.
But there's a fever reliever.
Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter.
Changes our focus. Changes our direction. We have a whole new outlook on life. We have a whole new outlook on life.
Hallelujah. Then you'll shout hallelujah. Then you'll shout hallelujah. For He said you.
Somebody tell the doctor he can't handle this one. The great physician's in charge tonight. Somebody go tell the angels to back up. We don't need nurses right now. We just need some hallelujahs and glory be to God's. Because the physician has never met a fever that he couldn't relieve. We don't need a blood transfusion. We've already had that. If it wasn't for a hill called Mount Calvary. We don't need to change Bibles. We don't need to change the name of our church. We just need to change the fever. Run it out of our life and be healed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I will not be defeated.
I like it.
I will not be defeated.
I will not be
defeated anymore.
You hear that?
Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Lost the battle anymore, and I will not be defeated anymore.
If he can do it for that boy,
I will not be defeated.
Down in Fairland, Arkansas.
I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated anymore. Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, lost the battle and he won, and I will not be defeated anymore. I will not be defeated anymore. Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus. Lost the battle and he won, and I will not be defeated anymore. Oh no, I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated. Will not be defeated anymore. For Jesus Christ, God's only Son, lost the battle and he won. Defeated anymore.
Jesus
Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, lost the battle and he won, and I will not be defeated anymore. Oh no, I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated anymore. Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, lost the battle and he won, and I will not be defeated anymore.
What do you think about it, ladies? What do you think about it, young folks? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just try this, everybody that's able? Just throw a hand up in the direction of heaven and start thanking God for the healing. Just start thanking God for sparing you what he's already spared you from. Young folks right there in the front, throw your hands up. Just tell God at an early age, I thank you, Lord, for giving me a purpose in life. Spare me heartache, troubles. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord.